This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this is your Nishna Valley for the last weekend in February.
Already, I can't believe it.
Yeah, you get an extra day in February, but we're still ticking off the weeks real fast.
Yeah.
It's good. We had a little snow the other day, as we all are aware of.
Boo.
Yeah, I know. We lived through it.
At least it wasn't too much.
Some of us drove through it. Yuck. Not much fun, but you know what? How many more of these do you think we might have?
Well, into February, March, we've had some big snowstorms in March, so it's kind of hard to say.
But you can't, I mean, now you're placing your bets on not too many.
Yeah.
Now,
can't be too many more. Maybe one more.
Yeah. February's kind of, to me, has always kind of been the turning point month. My birthday is early in February, and I always kind of like that because that was usually, I always looked at it as about the time where winter's starting to turn.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a lot of big snowstorms anymore, and the weather's going to start to, you know, we're going to have a little bit more warmer weather for different days than we will on the other side. It's on the upswing, not the downslide, put it that way, of winter. So
a glimmer of hope there.
Yeah. So we're almost to March, and we're getting there real close. You know, we do have the extra day this year with leap year on February 29th. Next Wednesday is a day that normally doesn't exist. You know anybody with a birthday on the 29th?
I don't. Nobody.
I do.
Really?
But I'm not going to mention his name or talk about him at all just because. Well, I didn't warn him ahead of time, so I wouldn't do that. But it's kind of interesting, and it's, you know, I wonder how you celebrate that.
I guess you get to pick either day of sight, either the 28th or the 1st.
I mean, it's not like you don't age. We always joke about, well, you're like, you know, 16 now, yeah. Even though, you know, you're a little older than that because you only have a birthday once every 4 years.
That'd be weird, yeah.
Yeah, I know. My mom's birthday is the 28th of February, and she was born in a leap year. She was born 1944, which was a leap year, and she was born very late in the evening, like
almost
early in the 11 o'clock hour.
Oh.
Yeah, she was literally like less than an hour away from being a February 29th baby. Mm-hmm. So she was close, but no cigar.
Huh.
Couldn't hold on long enough. But yeah, I always wondered what that would be like. Gee, Mom, you're so young looking.
I'm sure she would like to hear that.
If only you would age at that rate.
Yeah, no kidding.
It just doesn't work that way, unfortunately. Well, happy birthday to all those special ones, those that are out there that actually have February 29th birthdays. I wonder what the odds are of having a baby born on February 29th. I mean, considering it's not just a once a year chance, it's just a once every four year chance. I wonder if there are people out there that try to plan for that.
I don't really know why.
I wonder if there's an uptick in, like, cesarean sections and things like that on the 29th. If people just decide, okay, close enough, we're going to have the baby now today because we want it to be on the 29th.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to find out.
I don't know. I guess I don't want to meet the people that try to plan around something like that.
I think it might be a little off.
Let the toast come up when it's done, right?
Yeah.
Don't try to force it.
Right.
Well, we had that little snow event here last week on Thursday night into Friday morning, and a lot of schools Friday morning were running late and things too, and some things were postponed and canceled because of that. Wasn't the worst blizzard we've ever had, but like I say, that ice and slush underneath it just kind of made it sloppy and hard to get rid of. But it is warming up this weekend. In fact, by Sunday, they're expecting temperatures to be up around 50 again.
Wow.
However, temporary reprieve. Now they're talking about another storm system coming through that could dump some more snow here yet this next week, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that. So, yep, could have more of that. But, you know, the good news is for the most part, we don't have as much trouble with the snow as they did, say, 75 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was looking in the Anita Tribune this week, the Anita newspaper, and I noticed a little note they had in there that goes back 75 years ago from February 25th of 1937. It talks about a Mrs. Frank Lees, because she's the one who experienced it, but it says about how she left Anita on Saturday afternoon back then for Iowa City because her son Frank was a patient at the General Hospital there, so she was off on the way. But she spent Saturday night with about 65 other people in a schoolhouse about 17 miles east of Des Moines because the bus that they were riding in became snowbound in a blizzard, which was raging over Iowa at the time. So the story goes on to say that those who were huddled in the schoolhouse ranged from about 6-month-old baby to a man over 70.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was a little bit of everybody.
Yeah.
They say food was obtainable sometime after dawn on Sunday, but only after one farmer east of the school had refused aid to the snowbound travelers. Shame on him. There was a piano in the school, it says, but no one seemed to be in the mood to play. One of the bus passengers mentioned. They said it was a pretty glum lot that they had all stuck. As you can imagine.
Well, I'm sure, yeah. Nobody wants to be in that position.
Being stuck there. But, yeah, they said there was no hysteria, but it was pretty easy to see that the women especially were intensely worried. Probably because there were children there, too. But it says the stranded motorists wrote their names on the blackboard in the schoolhouse, and they wrote a little thank you to the school district for the use of the building. So they didn't have to, I guess, huddle up in the snow. It says Mrs. Lees was able to resume her trip to Iowa City that Sunday afternoon, where she found her son recovering from an operation to which he submitted to the day before. So she missed the operation, but got there in time to help with the recovery.
There. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. 75 years ago, back in 1937. You know how tough it can be for some of our rural residents here now.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those who live on some of the lower maintenance level roads. It can be kind of tough sometimes a few days after a significant snow before they can get out and get around again. Imagine what it was like back then. The travel wasn't near as easy as it is today. The vehicles obviously weren't as good.
No.
The roads weren't as good.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit tougher to clear that snow out of the way, too. So, yeah, a little tough back then. I just can't imagine what that would be like.
Yeah, I'm glad for what we have.
Have you ever had times where you've been stranded anywhere for during travel for weather at all?
Not really for travel. I mean, you know, growing up in my parents' house, like you said, sometimes it'd be a couple of days before the maintainers would come through and ply you out, but...
Yeah, I didn't grow up in a rural area. I grew up in town, so we never really had that problem. Now, the stranded, I guess you could call it that. I remember a significant snowstorm we had, and the year escapes me now. It was the early 70s. It was like 72 or 73, maybe. But we had a significant snowstorm that dropped like 2 feet of snow in 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
On the community and the city. For the most part, the city was shut down for the better part of a week. We didn't have school for, I think we missed almost an entire week of school.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I can remember I lived just down the street from our church, and I was an altar boy, and Mass had to go on.
Yeah.
So, and there was a convent in the area as well, so when we had Masses there, and I had to go, I served a lot of Masses that week. Because
closest one.
Nobody could get there. And I can remember walking up the street shortly after that blizzard. It was one of those where you get just a tremendous amount of snow, and then the wind drifted it all up, and then of course it formed that crust on top. Now remember, I'm like a little 9 or 10 year old boy, so I'm not very heavy either. But I can remember walking on top of that snow and barely making a dent in it.
Yeah.
Because it crusted over so hard, and knowing full well that I'm walking over the top of cars or cars underneath me somewhere.
Oh,
there was that much snow in some areas. So it was not an easy walk up the hill to get to the church. Now, after church was easy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, just lay on my back, take a good run
slide
and dive
down.
And lay on my back and slide all the way down. Oh, yeah, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I can remember having just a wicked snowstorm, and it took several days to really adequately plow a lot of people out and cars literally being buried in snow and stuff. And it just wasn't much fun. But I wouldn't call that stranded.
Yeah.
You know, we could still, we had neighborhood grocery stores and things. We could take off and walk someplace a couple of blocks to get supplies. So it wasn't like we were stuck out in the country anywhere. I do recall one time, though, it wasn't a winter event. Well, I do remember one winter event, too, when I was in college. I was in Minneapolis, and I decided to drive down one weekend to visit some of my college friends who were still in Fort Dodge. And that was a bad idea because the snowstorm was really bad. I didn't get stuck anywhere, but the blizzard was awful, and it was really dumb that I did that. I should have just stayed home. But, you know, you get down the road a good chunk, and then
it's too late to turn back now.
Exactly. And I did actually avoid a collision at one point because there were two trucks that were running side by side from one another. And as one tried to pass the other, it kind of threw one off, and the back started, you know, a little bit of wind and sucked him in. He jackknifed, and then the other one did the same thing all right in front of me, and I was able to get right through it. And, you know, kind of scary stuff. Now you're knuckling the rest
of
the trip, you know. Yikes. But I did have an instance where I got stranded once. Again, not a serious thing, but I remember being up in Minneapolis, and it was actually shortly before I moved here to start work at KJAN. I was working in sales for a company in Minneapolis, and I remember being down in the southern part of the metro area near Shakopee, Minnesota, and there was this storm that suddenly whipped up, and I could see a funnel cloud back behind me in the rearview mirror, and I stopped and looked, and yikes, and the rain was just coming down so bad, and it got so terrible, and so on the radio they were telling us to take cover and stuff because there was this storm was really bad. It was going through the Shakopee area right now. And it could include tornadoes. I'm thinking, yeah, I think I see one back there. So I thought, okay, well, this is so like a lot of other people who were on the interstate at that time, I pulled off underneath an overpass, figuring I could get a little bit of, relief from the rain and stuff. Well, it created a flash flood. It rained so hard that we had a flash flood pull up, and all of a sudden we're looking down, realizing we better get out of here. We're never going to get our cars out of here.
Yeah.
So we ended up, a lot of us ended up backing up on the interstate to get to that ramp that was behind us, and then we went up the ramp. Anyway, long story short, I ended up off that ramp, and it was an area of the community that I probably didn't need to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
I think so.
It wasn't the high end of it was probably not the place I should have
definitely
been.
Locking your car doors.
Yeah. So anyway, so I pulled into just a little parking lot there, and I mean the water all around us. I found a high parking lot that I could get into, and the water just, it's a flash flood. It came up quickly, but it didn't dissipate quite so quickly, and it was in the evening hours. This is like 5-6 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up locking the doors. But I slept in the car that night.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I just laid the seat back and just slept in the car. And I remember waking up the next morning seeing some young toughs walking around checking out some other cars and stuff and thought, okay, it looks like most of the water's gone. I'm getting out of here. Time to go home.
Yeah.
So I pulled out, but still had to drive carefully. There were some areas that were low that still had quite a bit of water. But, I wouldn't consider that necessarily to be stranded in the worst sense of the word.
Yeah.
I'm not on a desert island somewhere where,
some fine food
where
or
there's
anything,
no chance to rummaging for coconuts or something. But, it's always scary when you're out of your element.
Yeah.
So watch out for those late storms. Sometimes these late season storms bring heavier than normal snows. Hmm. So we'll see if we can work through that.
Yeah.
Well, it is the Lenten season, so we have some Lenten things going on here in the area too, Lenten related things, and a lot of fish fries and stuff happening too around the area. But I know you got a big list of stuff going on here in the coming days.
I do. On Sunday, the Persia Fire Department, they're having an annual breakfast buffet. That's on Sunday, February 26th. That's from 7:30 to 11:30 at the Persia Community Hall. Cost is $8 for adults and $3 for children 2 through 10, and children under 2 are free. Again, that's the Persia Fire Department Annual Breakfast Buffet on February 26th from 7:30 to 11:30, and that's at the Persia Community Hall. All the residents of Lewis, they're invited to a community meal on February 26th at the United Congregational Methodist Church, and they're serving from 5 to 6:30. That's Residents of Lewis Community Meal on February 26th at the United Congregational Methodist Church from 5 to 6:30. The public's invited to the next meeting of the Nishna Valley Trails Association. That's on Monday, February 27th from 6 to 7, and that will be held at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. They'll have brief updates on the development of trails in Cass County and Atlantic, reports on work with city and county partners, and the group will work on ideas for promoting and developing trails in the months ahead. That's the Nishna Valley Trails Association meeting on February 27th from 6 to 7 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church. Lori Hofflin of Hofflin Ministries, she'll be having a book signing at the Audubon Library on February 28th from 1 to 5. She'll be signing her recently published books, Heaven is Near, When a Child Dies, and Zayden's Rainbow. The books will be available for purchase at that time. That's at the Audubon Library on February 28th from 1 to 5. Women who own or manage farmland in and around Shelby County are invited to a free discussion and field tour on February 29th at the Third Kielsen Activity Center in Harlan. The focus of this meeting is making informed decisions about hunting and managing wildlife on your farmland. They have coffee and registration at 8:30 a.m. They'll have a free lunch, and it's followed by optional field tour of area habitat sites. In Griswold, the Griswold High School Student Council is sponsoring its 6th annual dodgeball tournament. That's at the Griswold High School gym on March 2nd. The doors will open at 6 and games start at 6:30. If you'd like to put together a team for the event, you can see any student council member, or you can call Pat Carlson at 778-2154 to get an entry form. Each team must have 8 players, and at least 2 members must be of the opposite gender and have high school age or older. Entry fee is $32 per team, and the winning team will receive an award for each member. Entries are due by March 1st, and they have to be paid in full. The proceeds from this will go to the Hitchcock House in Lewis, and they're also looking for 2 adults to help referee. It's the Griswold High School Student Council's 6th annual dodgeball tournament on March 2nd. EHK Optimist Soup Supper will be held on March 3rd from 5 to 7 at the Elkhorn Town Hall for a free will offering. Proceeds will go to the Xyra and Elkhorn Scholarships. Lori Hoffling of Hoffling Ministries will be having a book signing again in Atlantic Library on March 3rd from 10 to 2. Again, she'll be signing her recently published books, and they'll also be available for purchase at that time. The Atlantic Elks Lodge Annual Sportsman's Banquet will be held on March 3rd. They'll have a meal from 5:30 to 6:30, and then there's a safety talk at 6:30. The meal will include turkey and noodles over mashed potatoes and corn dinner roll and cheesecake. You can get your tickets at Elk Lodge or at Rex Pharmacy. They're just $8 for adults, and sixth graders and under are $5. The youth ticket also includes one entry for a youth shotgun raffle, and you can also purchase additional chances for $5. There's a adult shotgun raffle, and those are $5 each, or you can get five for $20, and those you can get through the Elks Lodge. You do have to be present to win, and there will also be door prizes. That's Atlantic Elks Annual Sportsman Banquet on March 3rd, and the meal's from 5:30 to 6:30, and then again, that safety talk starts at 6:30. In Brayton, the Brayton Fire Department, they're serving hot beef sundaes on March 3rd at the Brayton Town Hall. That's from 4:30 to 7:30, and that's hot beef in a dish with lettuce salad, drink, and dessert for a free will donation. Proceeds from that will go towards new gear for the Brayton Fire Department, and the meal is then catered by Mills Diner. It's the Brayton Fire Department's hot beef sundaes on March 3rd at the Brayton Town Hall. The Minden United Church of Christ Daily's chicken dinners on March 4th, that's from 11 to 1:30. That's in Minden. They are serving Staley's chicken with mashed potatoes and gravy, stuffing, green beans, corn, dinner roll, salad, pie, and beverage. Cost is $9 for adults and $6 for children 12 and under, and children under 2 eat free. They do have carryouts available. If you'd like a carryout, you can call 483-2903. That's Minden United Church of Christ Staley's chicken dinner on March 4th from 11 to 1:30 in Minden. The Lewis Library and Heritage Fundraiser will take place on March 4th at 5 at the Lewis Community Center. It's a soup supper. And they're serving chili and chicken noodle soup with relishes and assorted desserts. That is for a free will donation, and proceeds from that will go for shelving, computer chairs, and floor mats, and that's sponsored by the Lewis Library Board. That's the Lewis Library and Heritage Fundraiser on March 4th at 5 at the Lewis Community Center for a soup supper. The Masonic Scholarship Breakfast Fundraiser will be held on March 4th from 8:30 to 12:30 at the Elkhorn Town Hall. They'll be serving all-you-can-eat biscuits and gravy, eggs, Belgian waffles, and French toast, and that's for a free will donation. Proceeds from that will go towards scholarship funds for the 2012 Xyra EHK Seniors, and then they'll also have a second scholarship fundraiser, which will be held later in March. I do have another... The Atlantic BPW, they're offering three scholarships this year. There's a $1,000 scholarship will be awarded to a resident of Cass County to give financial aid to a man or woman who is out of school for a while. Applications must be submitted by April 1st. A $500 call-in scholarship is available for any female resident of Cass, Shelby, or Audubon County in Iowa who's pursuing a degree in computer science, management information systems, computer systems management, chemistry, or engineering. Those applications must be submitted by April 1st, and the Business and Professional Women of Iowa will be awarding several scholarships to a man or a woman who is a resident of Iowa. Applications must be postmarked by March 31st. If you'd like more information, you can be found under the Extras section on the Daily Diary page, or you can also contact Becky Bonney at 243-3935 for applications.
Wonderful. A few other things here, too. This weekend, or actually this coming week, Tuesday, February 28th, there'll be a Dad's Belgian Waffles Supper. It's an all-you-can-eat event at Veterans Memorial Auditorium in Harlan. That's from 5 to 7 p.m. Tickets are $7 for adults, $4 for children ages 6 to 10, and 5 and under can eat free. Advanced tickets are available at the Harlan Senior Center. It is a fundraiser for the Harlan Senior Center, and carryouts are available. Thrivent Financial in Shelby County is helping to support that Dad's Belgian Waffle Supper. Again, that's Tuesday, February 28th, Vets Auditorium in Harlan, 5 to 7 p.m. is the time on that. Also, if you like your fish, the folks up in Audubon, the Knights of Columbus in Audubon, are also sponsoring a fish fry. The St. Patrick's Lenten Fish Fry started this past Friday on February 24th, and they're serving from 5 to 7:30 p.m. at the St. Patrick's Parish Center in Audubon each Friday. And that'll be March 2nd, 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th. Yeah, so plenty of opportunity. It's $8 for adults, and 10 and under are $4. It's an all-you-can-eat event, and that's in Audubon. Also, let's see, what else do I have? Cass County Memorial Hospital has some community blood screenings coming up as well. If you'd like to take advantage of that, you have to be 18 and over, and you do have to make appointments now for the service. So you need to have either call 249-0261, or you can go online to CassCountyClinics.com. to be able to make your appointments. Now, the cost for the blood profile is $35 and includes all the normal things you would get. There's also for an extra cost a PSA test for men, and also a blood profile with an A1C is an extra cost, and also a vitamin D screening has an extra cost to it as well. You do need to fast overnight before the appointment. You can have a little bit of water or black coffee the morning of the blood draw if you need something to get you started in the morning. Now, those blood draw events are going to be held at the Cass County Memorial Hospital Atrium in Atlantic on February 23rd. Which has already passed, so they've already started these. But you can also do it again on March 1st, March 12th, or March 15th. Now, also at the Health and Wellness Center in Anita on February 29th, at the Messina Medical Center on March 5th, and also at the Griswold Medical Center on March the 8th. So make a note of those dates, and you have a chance to sign up for those. Also, the folks in Pottawatomie County, the Conservation and Countywide Trail Planning Committee, in partnership with the National Park Service Rivers, Trails, and Conservation Assistance Program, are hosting some events for you to have a chance to visit a little bit about some of the trails issues that they have. They're going to get people together to get some input in a roundtable format, and they're asking folks to come to these listening sessions to learn a little bit more and maybe generate some ideas about area trails. They're going to have sessions in Neola at the Community Center on March 8th from 7 to 9 p.m. In Carson at the Community Center on March 10th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Also at the AHST High School in Avoca on March 14th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. At the Iowa Western Community College Council Bluffs campus in the Luft Hall Room number 10, March 22nd from 4 to 6 p.m. And also there'll be a water trail meeting at Botna Bend Park in Hancock on March 21st from 7 to 9 p.m. It's a chance to discuss and maybe come up with some ideas and learn about what's happened so far. So those are some opportunities for you to have some input. And what else? What did I miss?
No, I forgot one.
What'd you forget?
Knights of Columbus.
Oh, here in Atlantic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Knights of Columbus here in Atlantic also at St. Peter and Paul Church are serving each Friday night. They started this past Friday, February 24th, and they'll continue the next several Friday nights during the course of Lent. And from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at St. Peter and Paul Catholic Parish Center, they'll be serving the baked fish. It'll be a baked Alaskan pollock. Baby red potatoes, homemade coleslaw, green beans, French bread, coffee, tea, milk, and orange drink. Desserts are available for a free will offering to support the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Youth Group activities. $8 for adults, $4 for children 10 and under, and the proceeds all go to support the Knights of Columbus scholarships, which are done each year. So that's what they have going on as well. That's a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take a quick break. Catch our breath. We'll be right back.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
All right, back to business. Got some birthdays?
I do. On Sunday, February 26th, we'd like to wish happy birthday to Val Thrasher, celebrating 90th birthday. They're having an open house for. They're serving breakfast following Mass in Earling. That's from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Earling Fire Hall. You can come stop by and share a memory with Val, and they're asking for no gifts, please. If you're unable to attend, you can send her a birthday wish to P.O. Box 286 in Earling, Iowa, 51530. Again, that's P.O. Box 286 in Earling, Iowa, 51530. So happy birthday to Val Thrasher, celebrating her 90th birthday on Sunday, February 26th. Happy birthday to Ursula Bruck of Portsmouth. She's celebrating her 80th birthday on March 9th. Her family is requesting a card shower in her honor. You can send her a card to P.O. Box 194 in Portsmouth, Iowa, 51565. Her family includes 28 grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren. Ursula is a farm wife and school cook in Harlan for many years, but most recently she operated the concession stand at the Ball Diamond in Portsmouth. Her family will be together to celebrate her birthday on March 9th. So happy birthday to Ursula Bruck, celebrating her 80th birthday. Again, that's P.O. Box 194 in Portsmouth, Iowa, 51565. A card shower is planned for Bernard Leinen, celebrating his 80th birthday. That's on March 1st. You can send him a card to 1106 14th Street in Harlan, Iowa, 51537. Bernard and his wife, Helen, have 6 children, and they have 26 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren. So happy birthday to Bernie Leinen on March 1st, celebrating his 80th birthday, and that's address is 1106 14th Street in Harlan, 51537.
Great. Thank you very much for that. I don't have any anniversaries to tell you about. No babies either, I can see. So send them to us if you got them. How you doing?
With?
You healthy?
I think so.
Trying to lose any weight?
Who isn't?
Yeah, right. We are, but we sometimes don't try very hard, right?
I was just telling my friend, I'm trying to get into my pre pregnancy pants.
Yeah, good luck with that. Let me know how that works.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed I was looking through the Blue Zones. You've heard about Blue Zones. I was looking through the Blue Zones website the other day, and I just noticed that it said 5 tips to better eating. You know, it doesn't necessarily always have to be about losing weight. I mean, for some people, that's a goal, and that can be difficult. For some people, it's just keeping the weight you're at and not gaining anymore. And, you know, in some cases, just the getting started is difficult, and it's hard to really get into that new routine and stuff. But there are some simple tips to just helping yourself along the way that don't really necessarily mean dieting. But, you know, most folks gain about, on average, about 10 pounds in a 10-year period just because we eat too much.
Yeah.
Now, some of us might gain a little more than that, but there's just 5 simple tips to trying to cut down on that a little bit. And then one they say is just to downsize your dinnerware. How big are the plates that you serve your meals on at home? Big?
Yeah. I do that, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, they say if you, the size of your plates and glasses actually can cause weight gain. So they suggest to try using perhaps 10-inch plates and some tall, narrow glasses so that you're using less, so you're consuming less without really much thinking about it. You know, you have the little juice glasses, and then you have the taller glasses, the tumblers and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe use the little ones with your milk or whatever
and
stuff too. You know, sometimes you don't realize how much you're consuming. It's just, it's what you always do. You don't think about it, you know?
Yeah, so sometimes those small plates get a little fuller.
Yeah, it's like going to the buffet, huh? I know I can go back twice, but I still want to pile it on the first time. Another tip is to eat soup. Soups can be nutritious, full of veggies, which help you out, but they can also, because of the liquid in it, can help you feel satisfied and full. And that can help boost your health and weight loss efforts also just by eating more soup. And snack on nuts. Just a handful of nuts gives you vitamins, minerals, and some heart-healthy fats. And studies have shown that eating nuts can also reduce your risk of heart disease and could even possibly increase your lifespan just by eating a handful of nuts every now and again. Eat an early light dinner. By eating a light dinner earlier in the evening, you'll give your body plenty of time to digest the food before bed. This practice not only promotes better sleep, it can also lower your body mass index, too. So, you know, some of us get busy and we don't eat until 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Not ideal. And then we're so hungry by then, we eat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the better part is instead we're used to eating 3 huge meals in a day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's kind of the way we're brought up, you know, 3 times. But it's better to spread your meals out and eat a little bit smaller. And actually, you'll feel better and your metabolism will run faster, so it'll help you to burn more calories. And then the one other one they have here, too, number 5, is to slow down and be mindful of your food. You know, we eat so much on the run or in front of the computer or the TV. It's good to sit down at a table and enjoy your food. Sit down with a family. Remember, we used to have family nights. You know, you used to sit down with your family when you were young and eat dinner. And you'd talk. And dinner would take an hour because we'd visit about the day and stuff. And well, part of that is you're not just gobbling it all down real fast. You know, you're actually taking your time. So your brain is telling you when you're starting to get full instead of shocking you that, hey, you passed that point way long ago because you ate too fast. I couldn't keep up, you know. but you savor your meal, you're more aware of what you're eating, and as a result, you might even eat a little bit less. Hmm. So simple things that maybe you can do here and there, too. Hey, that's all the time we have for you this weekend. Thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it. Enjoy Leap Day.
Yeah.
This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linford.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.